And thank you, each of you, for being here, for singing. Thank you for just the joy of it. Let me give you just a couple of, we'll get in the message here in just a moment, but I wanted to get you thinking about something. We'll start in about 3 weeks, and you'll be hearing more about it, be seeing some promotion about it. But we'd like to have some meet and greets after the morning services. We'll do one. We'll start, I think, on June 26th, so 3 weeks from today. And here's how we'd like to divide it up. And it'll just be a good opportunity to get to know some folks in your life stage. And so what I'd like to do is do some meet and greets through the decades. And meaning that if you're in your 20s, how many of you remember that decade? Now, not just if you can remember, if your memory's good enough, you actually got to be in it. And and then we'll do one a couple weeks later, the 30s, then the 40s and 50s. You get the picture there. And we realize that some will have your marriage helps you straddle those, and one or the other. It really doesn't matter which one you come to. It's just a good way to get to fellowship with some folks together. And what we'd like to do is we'll provide lunch for you after the service, a picnic style, out the pavilion if weather permits. And so I just give you that. We won't give all the details right now. We'll get that coming up. But I just want you to be thinking of that. And you can be going. You can be doing your math work, gazendas, you know, like 4 gazenda, 8 twice, 4 gazenda, 12, 3 times. You know how that goes. But you can be doing your math to figure out which decade you're in. And then we'll have some good fellowship right after the morning service. We'll start, like I said, on June 26th, and you'll be getting some more information about that. And we'll look forward to all of that. If you're looking for your children, it's promotion Sunday. So the Sunday school department's promoted to the next grade. And so that means that if your children, you pick them up from the children's church they're normally in. If they're moving from second grade to third grade, then that would be over in the Family Life Center. And so if you need any help with that, the ushers will be glad to help you afterwards. But the Sunday school teachers, all as always, took them down to their class and put them in the class that will help them the best, and they'll be their age group. And then one last thing that I failed to mention before, in your bulletin, you notice an envelope there, and it's something I'm very excited about. Different folks have mentioned about how they can help with the remodel for the Ridge Kids upstairs, and here's a tangible way that you can help with that. And if you'd like to buy a chair. I know it sounds simple, but buy a chair. So we'd like to outfit the whole area, the whole upstairs Ridge Kids area, with new seating that are appropriate for their height and get them down where they're supposed to be. It's something that adults don't often think about, but when you go into a Sunday school room or a children's church room and they're just their feet are dangling there because their chairs don't fit them, then it shows that we're not taking care of them. And so this is a way that we can outfit everything in the age appropriate, size appropriate chair. If you'd like to help with that, then you can just drop that in that envelope and put it in the offering in the offering plates on the way out any of the services. So that's the announcements. But I want you to look, if you would, in the book of Genesis. We'll get started in the first book of the Bible. And I am so excited about what God's, I believe, has for us in the message, but also so excited to see each of you here this morning. While you're finding your place there in Genesis chapter 22, I did hear about this story about this lady named Martha that had a parrot. His parrot was Brutus, was his name. She had named it somebody as they gave it to her. They'd named it that. But there was a problem with Brutus. He just cussed horribly. He just had such a filthy beak on him. And you notice that? Usually it'd say filthy mouth, but he's a bird, so he has a filthy beak on him. But so she was having some in-laws over. As we're getting ready for Thanksgiving, as a matter of fact, so close, she'd had the turkey in the freezer, had all the fixings around there, but it wasn't Thanksgiving dinner yet. But she had some family over before Thanksgiving, and so she told Brutus, she said, "I don't want you cussing." And he just blurted out a few obscenities right there. And so family was getting ready to come in, and so she said, "I'm going to teach him a lesson." So she took him and put him in the deep freeze, just to cool him off, literally cool him off. And then she opened up that door because the family was just about ready there. And she opened up the door, put the parrot out, put him on the counter and said, "All right, did you learn your lesson?" "Yes, I did." And he started talking back and he said, "You learned your lesson. There's no cussing. Ain't going to be no cussing in this house. You understand?" "Yes." And then she said, "You got any questions?" She said, "Yes. What'd the turkey do?" So be careful, mind your manners. So Genesis chapter 22, verse number 3. Thank you so much for anniversary wishes we have. Amy and I, 29 years yesterday. We praise the Lord for my wife, and I thank God for all that she does to help me. And so I appreciate your well wishes to us. I'm going to read one of the most troubling stories that you ever get to in the Scriptures. And to say that I understand it all would be an overstatement. This is when Abraham is told by God to take Isaac up and offer him on the altar. Now, everybody in here knows the ending of the story. Verse number 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. So it all works out perfectly fine, of course. And God knows that. If you look back in Hebrews chapter over in Hebrews 11, we won't go there today, but if you looked over there, you would see that that Abraham had faith in God, that God was somehow going to raise Isaac back up. And so you realize that God has it all under control. But nonetheless, we get to a story that is troubling, so to speak. And I want to, though, teach a few lessons from it as the Word of God gives to us. The Bible says in verse number 3, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went in unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Again, you see that if you make notes in your Bible, you can put Hebrews chapter 11, I think it's verse 19 or so. Abraham took the wood of his burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. Of course, a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ putting a cross on his back. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar, and Abraham built an altar there and laid in the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. I want to preach for just a little while about one of the most beautiful stories, but one of the scariest ones, literally, honestly. But I want to break down every difficult situation that we come to in our lives. The Bible gives such great teaching, not only for the specific interpretation that's right there, but then it applies to all areas of our lives. I'd like to break it down into three areas that talk about marriage troubles and child-rearing troubles and church troubles and other issues that come up in our lives, that we could break it down and look at these three elements of what Abraham saw God do and how God provided at the end. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray that you would give us your mind today, and I pray that you'd lead us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you, first of all, in the message today, I want to show you the command of God given in verse number 2 and verse 3. And I'd like for you to think about your life if God's given you some commands about what you and I are supposed to do. We often have commands, or we always have commands, and oftentimes they're fairly easy to follow. But in verse number 2, the Bible says, "And said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac." In verse number 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning, and we see that he followed the command of God. Let me explain what I mean by that. The command of God is given to us in many different ways. There's commands given to us as husbands and wives. There's commands given to us as parents. There's commands given to us as citizens. As the last couple of Wednesday nights, we went over about the biblical role of government. There's commands of God given to us in many facets of our lives, and most of them don't give us any trouble because they're fairly easy to obey. Husbands, love your wives. You say, well, that's easy. We've just had a couple weddings here at the church, in the church family. That's easy until she becomes unlovely. The Bible says, children, obey your parents. And that's easy as long as it's a command that you also as a child agree with. The Bible teaches for grown adults even. It never puts any cap on this command that children are supposed to honor their father and mother. That gives me the command that I'm supposed to honor my father who's still with us. And that's easy until that father or that mother does something that really their lifestyle doesn't deserve much honor. You see what I'm saying? There's a command of God. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that's easy, except when there's something I really want to do and it's smack dab in the middle of church time. A command is not, we don't show, rather, our allegiance to God on the easy commands. Sometimes we mistakenly say about a young person, oh, they're such a good spirit or good attitude. Well, really, they've not had anything thrown at them that would make them want to rebel against anything that somebody said. When you have a situation, and it's maybe a child or a teenager or whoever it is, and you're not telling them anything that they don't want to hear, they have nothing to rebel against. But the command is given by God, as all of His commands are, and they're to be followed even when it's easy or even when it's hard. We see the command of God, and that's exactly what we saw in Genesis chapter 22 in verse number 2, thine only son, Isaac. So up until now, we see that Abraham has fulfilled some great commandments that God has given. And I've preached from this passage before. It's one of my favorite passages, although it does alarm me as you read it. But we see that Abraham had already followed the commands of God. He left Ur of the Chaldees. As a matter of fact, he left all of his family. And God told him, pack up and get out of there. And Abraham did that. We see that Abraham protected Lot. He went down and got him out of the enemy's clutches. And Abraham did all of these things. And yes, they were hard. And yes, they took some diligence. And yes, they took some obedience. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, he hadn't had a command until Genesis 22, verse number 2 came along. Now, it's where, as J. Vernon McGee used to say, the rubber meets the road. Now you're really going to see if you're going to follow the command of God. It's like this, men. If your wife says, hey, would you take out the trash? Well, I can do that. Hey, would you go, can you go do this for me? I can do that. And then finally the big one comes. It's the game you've been waiting for. You've had everything else cleaned out. Everything off of your schedule is done. The chicken wings are in the air fryer. The Coca-Cola is already on ice. It's ready. You've threatened children to in inches of their life not to bother you. And then she says, honey, would you go shopping with me? Oh. Now your Christianity is really going to be challenged. It was easy on all those other commands. But Abraham gets to the place where God's given him a command that's greater than any other command. To go down into harm's way to get his nephew Lot out of there, fine. Even to leave his family and take a hike out of Ur of the Chaldees, that's doable. But God, you promised that this boy would be the one that all the earth was blessed through. And we see the command of God is given. Now we understand, as I said, from there and from Hebrews, that Abraham had faith in God. We get that in just a moment, that God was going to raise this boy back up. He really believed, I believe that he really believed, that God was going to allow him to die and then be raised again. But that's not the way God did it. But what I'm saying this morning is, there was the command given. I'm asking you, you know, I rarely preach just for preaching's sake. I always want us to think. You realize that he had the command given by God. And I'm asking you this morning, has God already came and knocked on your heart to tell you to do something? Has God already moved upon you to start straightening up in your life in regards to your children? Has God already moved in your heart and pushed you, that sweet small voice, that still small voice rather of God? Has he not already hovered over you and told you something that you ought to do and yet you're not doing it? You've got the command of God. Maybe it's about moving forward in your Christian life. Maybe it's about repairing some relationship that you didn't have any part in breaking, but it got broken nonetheless. But God's already convicted you you and moved upon you and commanded you even to reach out that hand of reconciliation. I'm asking you this morning, I'm not talking about the easy commands. God tells us that we ought to assemble ourselves together like we here are today, and that's an easy one. But how about after we get out of church and God moves upon you and says, now that estranged brother of yours, I want you to get on the phone and apologize. And you say, God, well, apologize for nothing. He's the one that was a knucklehead and did all that stuff. And God says, I'm fully aware of the conversations that all of you had, and I'm completely aware of the situation. But what I'm asking you to do is be that person that restores such an one. And when we have easy commands, then we can do those quite handily. But I see the command of God is not always that easy. Some of us are so good at obeying the simple ones. Amy's dad, we saw him briefly and recently, and I'm reminded of how he was a deacon for decades at our church, the first church I was surrendered to preach in. And it may surprise you, but there's some things that go on in churches that ought not to go on, and there was tough times that came financially and people-wise, and folks were telling Amy's dad to just leave, get out of there. Evacuate the situation. Make it easier on yourself. But here was the problem. God had already told him that he was leading him to that church, and he'd made the decision, until God leads me out, I'm here. And he stood with the other leadership even when tough times came, because the command of God said he was supposed to be there. I'm saying this morning, my friend, the easy commands, the light diet ones, the ones that come and go without much effort on our part, that's not the test of my Christianity. The test of my Christianity is when God gives me the command that I don't want to follow. But not only do we see the command of God, but look in verse number 5. The Bible shows us not the command of God only, but then faith in God that Abraham has. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. Abraham didn't know how it was going to happen. I believe that he believed that he was going to kill Isaac and then God was going to raise him again. But I don't think he had it all worked out. But I do believe up until that point, Abraham had faith in God, said, God, we are going yonder. The other the hired hands are staying here, but me and Isaac and the fire and the knife and the wood, we're all packed up. We're going up to the pinnacle here. We're going to see you do something. And I believe with all of my heart that Abraham not only had obeyed the command of God, but the reason he could obey the command of God was because he had faith in God. And my friend, if God has brought you into this marriage that you're in, that you might as well have faith in God that God can keep you through it. God can get you into the other side, staying together. If God's led you into this business, God's led you into this venture, God's led you into this family, whatever it may be, I'm telling you this morning, you and I ought to have faith in God. He has never let us down, and he's not going to start on this current venture that we're on. Abraham says, I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know God is going to do it. Mary and Martha found out that God doesn't always come in on their timetable, but he's always in time, on time, for what he wants to do. Some bus workers were out visiting one day, and some months before, a family had moved, they didn't know it, but from another route. We had several, many routes going. And so some bus workers were out visiting, and they just knocked on a door like bus workers do, just looking for prospects. And this little boy popped out of that house, and some other kids were back in the back, and his first words out of his mouth was, he said, I knew you'd find us. They had moved from a bus in the next county over, but that our church also ran into. And didn't tell that, one of the bus workers' fears is we'd come up to houses and everything's cleaned out. Happens over and over again, and you hate it so much because they don't leave any number, don't leave back then. Cell phones weren't as common as they are now, and no number, no forwarding address, no way to get there. But that little boy popped out of that house to tell another bus worker who he knew from being at church, but he said, I knew you'd find us. His faith was a lot stronger than my faith was. Because when we went to the door the week before, or 2 weeks before, and saw it all cleaned out, I thought, like happened hundreds and hundreds of times, that that was the last time we'd ever see him. But may your and my faith be like that little bus kid that came to the door and said, I knew you'd find us. May our faith be just as sincere and just as innocent and just as real when we say to God, God, I knew you'd work it out. Because the Bible clearly teaches us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You say, I don't see how it's all going to work out. That's why God gives us faith. Some of the things that we want to see done around the church here, you say, I'm not sure how all that's going to work out, and I may not be sure on how all of it's going to work out either, but that's where faith in God comes in. You say, I don't know how young couples are going to stay together with all that hell is putting over onto them and all the world is trying to yank them apart. I don't exactly know how, but I know where it's going to start. It's going to start on the bedrock of the Word of God, and we're going to have faith in God that He is going to pull them through, and I see the faith in God that God gives to His people as we go forward. Many of you have heard the story of in the 20s over in Japan, there's a little, or not little, but a dog, Hachiko. A movie was made later about him here in the States, and he was a little Akita pup that he was adopted by a professor. And every day he would go down to the train station. But in May of 1925, the professor didn't return to the train station as he always did. And every day when he'd come back to the train station, his dog would come and meet him and they'd go home together. Legend tells, but truthful legend, tells that for the next 8 to 10 years, that dog would go to the train station waiting for his master to come home. But he was not coming home. He had died. And they put a statue there and told stories about him ever since, of course, and movies have been made and plays all about the trust and belief that that master was coming back. And my friend, I know that dogs get, that's why they get called man's best friend and loyal and all of that, and those are good traits, but I'm asking us to take our eyes off this world that looks so unchanging and put it past all of the circumstances and put it on God and have faith in God. We've already seen the commands. I think that everybody in this room, if I questioned each of you individually, you'd say, well, God's already moved upon my heart that I'm supposed to do some things. You say, what are you talking about? I believe that each of us, as we grow in our faith, that the Lord, in that sweet, still, small voice, moves upon us to nudge us to do some things. Maybe that's to mend a relationship, as I talked about earlier. Maybe that's to start a relationship. Maybe that's to start a Bible study in your workplace, and you're supposed to get all of your, some co-workers that will gather together. I don't know what God's told you to do, but I'm just convinced that God's probably moved on the hearts of almost everybody in here to do something. And can I tell you the missing element of why you've not done it yet? We don't have the faith in God to perform it like we ought. My friend, where God guides, He provides. And when God leads us to do something, He's going to be there to make it work out. Am I saying it's going to be easy? Not in your life. You think it was easy? I believe that every step that Abraham took must have felt like he had 100 pounds of weight on each ankle. And I believe that he was looking around at every little bit of beauty on that mountain on the way up, because I don't believe that he wanted to go through what he thought he was going to have to go through. But every step that took him, he realized he was taking that step in faith. And I don't know what God has moved upon your heart to do, but I do know this: if you're going to get it done, if you're going to see it accomplished, if you're going to see that victory won, you're going to have faith in God. Let me show you the last one in verse number 13. Not only do we see the command of God in verse number 2, the faith in God in verse number 5, but then the deliverance of God in verse number 13. The Bible says, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And I see not only did Abraham have a command from God and have faith in God, but then, praise be the Lord, Lamb forever, he had deliverance from God. He had to the deliverance of God because God had already had some things worked out. Abraham just didn't know what God was going to do at that particular time. If I could give it to you in two parts, I'd say it like this. Number one, God had the ram there all the time. You think God just invented that ram on the other side of the mountain? He could have, but not on your life. That thing had been born sometime before. That ram had grown. That ram had picked up meat. That ram had beefed up. And that ram had gone, and God had let that thing develop and grow for that one particular day that God was going to need that ram on the mountain as God was going to use him for a sacrifice. And we see that God had the ram there all the time. Can you figure it out? On this side of the mountain, Abraham is coming up with weights of the world on his shoulders and, as it were, 100 pounds of weight around each ankle, trying to trudge on through and go trotting for the Lord's glory because God said to do it. Isaac is just now figuring out. He said, Dad, we've got the fire and we've got the wood, but where's the lamb? And it's all kind of dawn on him. And the servants are staying back here while me and the lad go yonder. That's what's happening on one side of the mountain. On the other side of the mountain, there's a ram over there grazing, and God knows all along the way what he's going to do with that ram. That ram was born to a mama ram sometime before, and that ram had grown, and that ram had developed, and that ram had put on meat, and that ram was going to be prepared for one single activity for the glory of God. God was working all that out. You say, did God have to do all that? No, but God works in excess all the time. God had the ram there on one side of the mountain, and God had Isaac and Abraham and the servants up to a certain point. God had the ram there all the time. Amy and I were at a church, the church in Murfreesboro, and there was a missionary, a single lady missionary that came through, and she was going to this certain field and had no husband. And she said about every church I went to, they'd say, well, when are you going to get married? You know how people insensitively do. She said, well, I don't know. And she was in favor of getting married, but just God hadn't brought that person. Do you know about two or three churches before her last deputation stop? It just so happened, I'm sure God had nothing to do with it. It just so happened that there was a single missionary boy that had never been married. He also was raising money to go to the mission field. He also wanted to be married. He also didn't desire to be a lone ranger out on the mission field. And he was just looking for a wife. And wouldn't you know it, that the second or third from the last deputation meeting that this single missionary lady had, she met the other boy that was not quite as far along in his deputation, but that was all right with her. She didn't mind waiting. And she found that missionary, and they were married some months or a year later, and both of them are serving the Lord on the foreign field today. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that God had the ram there all the time. I believe that some of the needs that somebody in this room might have right now, that there could be a checkout floating in that mail system somewhere, that God's going to deliver it to you, and he'll be on time, even though he seems like, in your estimation, just a little bit late. And I believe that not only did God have that ram there all the time, but God brought that ram up the rest of the way up that mountain just at the right time. Joe Arthur said one time that he said, can you imagine God being on top of that mountain? He's got Abraham and Isaac and everything over on this side. He's got the ram on that side. He's like one of those old policemen at the intersection in those old cities. He's directing traffic. You come on up. No. You wait for a little bit. You come on up here. And no, you come on now. And eventually he gets them together in the middle. He brings that ram, and he brings Abraham, and he brings that ram, and he brings Isaac, and he brings that ram, and he brings Isaac and Abraham up together with the fire and the wood and all that. And eventually God brings them together, and the deliverance of God is seen here in this passage. But not only in this passage, the deliverance of God is seen in your life and in my life. But the missing element that some of us need to grab a hold of this morning is faith. Have faith in God. Mark it down. One old preacher said, I used to say it like this. God said it, I believe it. And that settles it. And all of us have heard that statement. But he said, I've shortened it. Because he said, I realize God said it. I believe it. That settles it. He said, I realize that middle statement was unnecessary. It doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. God said it. And that settles it. You know, let me bring it right down to us. God said, Jesus says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake you. Never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you know there's been some times in dark valleys in your life. Although you're a Christian, you know the Lord is your Savior. There's been some times when you doubted that He was with you. You almost thought, you're like that old song and that was based off a poem, The Footprints in the Sand. You almost thought for a little while God left you to trod by yourself. But what that preacher was getting at was this. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. He said there's been some times when I didn't believe it, but since God said it, that settles it. So the middle statement could be ejected. Whether I believe it or not, that still settles it. One old person put it like this, or the old phrase rather, I should say. The old phrase is, you can take that to the bank. And my friend, when God says it, you can take that to the bank. When I grew up on News Channel 3, WSAZ, Tony Cavalier was the meteorologist. And they gave out as promotions these umbrellas. So you carry them to work and it said, Tony said it would. Now, how many of you understand if the meteorologist ain't no more right than they are sometimes, I wouldn't want to put my name on that umbrella. But that's what it said on that umbrella. You could win it as a prize from Tony Cavalier, WSAZ News Channel 3. Tony said it would, because when you pop that up, Tony says it's going to rain today. Well, I don't know about Tony Cavalier, because he missed it a lot of times, just like they all do. But I do know this, my friend. God said it. And when God says it, that does settle it. Can I tell you a couple things that God said? God said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today and you've got a smidgen of doubt about whether or not your faith is placed in Jesus Christ alone, you're not 100% sure that your home is in heaven and that you're saved. God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the Word of God. It never changes. I challenge you, if you're not sure you're saved, that you'd receive Christ as your Savior. And then let me tell you one other thing that He said. He said, as I already mentioned, that He'd never leave us. As a believer, He'd never leave us nor forsake us. You think the halls of the cancer ward at some hospital scare God off? He was there before you got there. You think that death of a loved one somehow made Him turn and run? He was in the valley before you got there. He walked with you into the valley, and He's helping you on out the other side of it. I can promise you that. That's the Word of God. And I, again, don't know about what a newscaster might say, but I do know when God says something, you can believe it. Would you believe what God has told you already by faith this morning? Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, as we conclude today, I trust that You would do a great work in the hearts of my friends this morning. Lord, I pray that they would be encouraged. I realize that there's different, many, many different things going on. And I realize, dear Lord, that if we're not careful, we'll get overwhelmed by the possibilities of what could happen or what might not happen. But Lord, I pray You'd give people sweet resolve this morning to trust You by faith, as Abraham gave us the example. If you're here this morning and you're saved, whatever, my friend, the Lord has led you in, I challenge you, don't back up, don't pull back, don't stutter, don't stammer, don't double step, just go forward as the Lord leads you. You can trust Him. And then, my friend, if you're here and you're not sure you're saved, God says that you need to be saved. That we're all sinners, the Word of God says, and we fall short of the glory of God. All of us need salvation through Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can give it, but He'll give it to anyone that calls on His name. And if you're here and you're not sure you're saved, would you please call out to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and ask Him into your life? Whatever is on your heart, I challenge you to take God at His word. Would you stand together as the ladies play? And here's my invitation. If God has spoken to your heart this morning and you know for sure that He's already moved on you to do something, my friend, all I'm here to do today is tell you, you can trust God and take Him at His word. As Abraham was told by God to take thy son, thine only son, and Abraham simply did it. But the only way he could do it was by the faith in God, that God would perform what God had already led him to do. And my friend, if God has already led you to do something, please have faith in God that He will provide for you in what He's already led you to get done. This altar is open for you. The steps serve as our altar and the altar in the middle. But you come and pray if God would lead you to. Or pray there in your seat, confirming today that God, you've already spoke to me. I already know I'm supposed to start that Bible study. I already know that I'm supposed to help that person. I already know that I'm supposed to give that amount. I already know that I'm supposed to help that certain person with that need. I already know that I'm supposed to give. Whatever. And you've just lacked the faith to step out and do it. I'm challenging you to do it today. And if you're here, you're not saved, I make one more plea. If you're here, you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's standing on the floor right in front of the pulpit that I preach from. Would love to take the time and the Bible to show you how you can be sure Jesus is your personal Savior. As they just play part of this next verse, this is yours. Thank you so much. You may look this way. What a joy to be in God's house. And thank you for being here. And I trust that you'll take that message home and just let the Lord do whatever He would do in your life. I got to meet several folks today for the first time. Thank you for being our guest today. And if you've not filled out one of those guest cards, if you would fill it out and drop it by guest services, the counter out there, or maybe you've been coming for some time, but you just never have filled that out. And it helps us just to get a letter out to you and so we can better know. But maybe you also have some questions about membership, or maybe you have some spiritual need and you just like to write that down on there so that we can call you this week and we won't bug you or chase you down or anything like that. But maybe you'd like some spiritual insight on something, maybe like some just information about the church or whatnot, maybe like a visit, then you can write that down as well, and we'll certainly facilitate that. So thank you for being in church this morning. And I challenge you to be back at night at 6:30, I think, unless the Lord changes things. We'll be looking at Psalm 19. I briefly just gave you one couple of verses of it the other night, but looking through the whole Psalm 19, if you want to read ahead, then it's fine. It's been around for a long time. It's not like it's a sneak peek, but we'll have a good time in God's house at 6:30 tonight. Thank you for being in church this morning. God bless you. You're dismissed.